Hey guys, welcome back to Inner Monologue with me, Olivia Neal. Today I'm going to be telling you about my recent trip to Paris for Fashion Week. I'm going to be telling you how I bumped into Pharrell. Also, as Paddy's Day is approaching, I'm going to be discussing the differences between Ireland and England. Okay, since we last spoke, I feel like I've been here, there and everywhere. But actually, before we even get into this, I need to ask you guys advice. Please, everyone that listens to this, I swear, has like a doctorate. Is that a word? A degree in medicine, because you all know like solutions to everything. And every time I ask your advice, you always like send me some. I value your opinion and your advice over like me searching something on Google or going to the doctors, God forbid. But like, I really got a bad sleeping problem recently, guys. I cannot stop sleeping for the life of me. To the point that this weekend, my parents came to visit me and it was Mother's Day yesterday. And you know, it's Mother's Day. I should really be stepping up and taking on my role as daughter. Also, my brother and sister are off traveling. My brother lives in Australia now and my sister's in Vietnam, so I'm really an only child at the minute, and my parents have really kindly come over to London to see me, because sometimes you need some parent TLC, and I've been traveling a lot recently, so I really needed to be like just like brought back down to the ground. I think I was away with the fairies, because I was just not even away with the fairies, I was just like traveling so much I didn't really know where I was kind of like floating anyway. So my parents came to see me and I just slept the entire time. I cannot stop sleeping, and they were like, girl, like you've slept like 16 hours today. And even today, like I went to sleep I think 11 last night after sleeping the full day, and I was like, right, okay, I'm gonna set my alarm for 9. I'm changing my alarm now to the Gossip Girl intro song. What's that song? Goes do 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 do. You know that song? Anyway, I changed it to that. So that set at 9 a.m. and I slept until 12:30. So that song was playing in the background of my dream for 3.5 hours. Now, bear in mind, my dream last night was insane. It was about like I was in a church for so long. I think there was maybe like a procession going on or like a wedding of some sort, and I was in a church, and then I like I found a chant on the back of the pew in front of me, like etched into it, so I start saying it, and then the girl beside me gets possessed and we're like doing a full exorcism. So this is all happening while the Gossip Girl song is playing in the background, like as the backing track to my dream for 3.5 hours. Anyway, that's how I started my day, and I feel super like fucked up because of it. Like, I don't know, like I don't even remember like how I got here. Like, I actually just feel like I'm in a state of floating right now. And like, maybe I don't think I'm deficient in anything. I really believe that I could never be deficient in anything. I could ever be like, there can ever be anything wrong with me. Because also, I think I'm like defensive, because people always say like, oh, you're vegan, you've been vegan for so long, you have to be deficient in something. Like, your iron's definitely low. And I'm really proud to say that anytime I got my blood done, everything's perfect. So I can never come to terms with the fact that maybe something might be like, maybe I might need something more like a vitamin of some, probably iron. And that's why I'm feeling the way I do. But who knows? Anyway, my question for you guys is, how do I stop sleeping so much? And how do I stop sleeping so deeply? Because nothing can wake me up anymore. I need advice on how to wake up and how to stop sleeping so much. Anyway, let's get into what I've been up to. Third coffee of the day. It's 2 p.m. I went to Paris for Paris Fashion Week, so let's talk about that a little bit. I honestly feel like you guys are bored now. Fucking, there's a Fashion Week every month, it seems. Paris Fashion Week is like my favorite Fashion Week of them all. There's obviously New York, Milan, London, and Paris. I think I've stopped going to as many things now when I go to Paris. Like, I used to obviously be so excited, and I would only go for like 3 days, and I would jam pack those days full of events and shows and like parties, and I would just like make sure like I was doing the most in those 3 days. Whereas now, and I didn't really like, I didn't know many like places that I actually like to go. Like, I didn't have my favorite little cafes, my favorite shops. And I didn't even have like that many friends in Paris at the time. And then obviously I've gone more and more. It's been like 3 years now, I think, I've been going to Paris Fashion Week. And I've like found my little cafes I like, which I'll give you some recommendations, and my shops. And I like to like go for longer now. Like, this time I went for like 8 or 9 days, I think. And I did not do that much like work-wise. Obviously, like, well, yeah, I usually had like one thing on a day, but it was like, it was a very, very chill Fashion Week for me, to the point that like on the way here I was being like, oh my god, like, has anything exciting happened that I can tell the podcast? And I was like, no, like like nothing exciting happened. Like, the most exciting thing that happened was I found the nicest restaurant ever. And okay, I was like, oh, maybe like I just like this because I'm vegan, but I put it on my story and everyone from Paris replied to it, be like, oh my god, this is my favorite restaurant ever, and like none of these people are vegan, so you guys are gonna love it. If you ever go to Paris, you have to go to the restaurant Jaja. J-A-H. Oh, it's so good. It was like Caribbean food, but all vegan. And they had like a really, really small menu. And like, honestly, like it was all in French. I did not know what I was ordering. I just was like, I think it was like a hot plate and a cold plate. And I was like, I'll take a hot plate. And they brought me this plate full of like the most delicious food ever. And I'm so happy because I fucking hate French food. Like, I went to like quite a few like brand dinners. Dinners for brands when I was in Paris this year. And luckily, like, I mean, I'm kind of accustomed to it now. Like, I know like vegan in Paris is quite difficult. So I always ordered Chipotle before because my thing is Chipotle in Paris. I think Chipotle in Paris is the best Chipotle in the world. I don't think I've ever, I definitely have tried Chipotle in New York. But yeah, no, I prefer the one in Paris. I'm obsessed with Chipotle in Paris. Anyway, I always order that before a brand dinner because I know that I'm about to be served some absolutely diabolical meal. And every time, I was given a plate with, and this is a really, really nice restaurant that I was really excited to go to because I hear people talk about it all the time. It's always on Demois. It was called Caviar Caspia. So I was like, okay, probably it's going to be a lot of like caviar and fish. So I'm not going to be able to eat a lot, but I was still hopeful. And I thought, okay, maybe they'll pull something out of the bag because it's a really fancy restaurant. And usually like really fancy restaurants, like try to kind of go above and beyond for you if you're vegan or like, and it's never anything I actually like, but I appreciate that they put in effort. So I went to this brand dinner at this restaurant and they gave me a plate of green beans, not even seasoned, just green beans. But I think maybe it had salt on it and it was just like cooked like I think maybe they'd blanched it in water, like it wasn't even like fried or like in a really nice sauce or anything. It was literally just a plate of green beans and I was like, great, I don't even really fucking like green beans. I mean, I do like green beans, I like green beans if they're done nicely, but like what the fuck was that? Anyway, so yeah, I'm super excited because I found this restaurant that I really, really like, which is rare for me in Paris, and I can't stop recommending it to everyone I come across. Let's talk about the shows I went to, if anyone cares. I went to the Loewe show. Now, I feel like, obviously, it's such an honor to be invited to any show at all in Fashion Week. And to be honest, I still am like, why the fuck am I ever invited to anything? Like, I literally dress like a little boy most of the time. Like, look at me today. I'm literally wearing like Uggs and a jumper, and that's what I call like this is my like everyday attire. I'm like, why am I going to a fashion show? But I'm not complaining. Like, I'm super excited, and I think it's so, so cool, and I love going, and I love, like, it's just such a cool experience. Going to a fashion show and beyond grateful. But also, like, there are some fashion shows that are like really, really difficult. I would say that they're quite difficult to get invited to. Loewe is like one of those brands that is like really, really like, maybe it's just me, maybe I just find it difficult to go to a Loewe show, but like I've always loved Loewe. I think Loewe is probably my favorite, it's probably my favorite brand at the minute. Like, well, Miu Miu will always hold a special place in my heart. Like, Miu Miu is, it was the first ever fashion show I went to, and I just think their like stuff is the cutest stuff ever, and I love every look that they send on the runway. So I think I will always like stand by Miu Miu. Like, Miu Miu is like my all-time favorite brand, but Loewe at the minute is like what I'm most interested in. And I think they're really interesting as well because they kind of like, they push, like they like are very experimental in a lot of things they do. And yeah, it's just the brand that I'm obsessed with the most, and I love their silhouettes, and I have this like bomber jacket from them that I literally wear every single day, and their handbag, I wear their handbag every single day. I just love it. Anyway, they invited me to their show, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the craziest thing ever. Like, I couldn't believe I was invited. Like, my agent texted me being like, I'm literally near tears. I can't believe you've been invited to Loewe. And it was just like a really exciting moment for me because, anyway, so I, let me tell you about their show. So I went to Paris and, well, I went to a few other shows. I went to Miu Miu, of course. I went to Loewe and I went to Alexander McQueen, which I want to talk about as well. But yeah, so I went to the Loewe like head offices and I like, got to like be dressed in their outfit, and like then we like walked into this like room in the Loewe. By the way, their offices are insane in Paris. And this girl brought me like into this huge big dressing room with like racks and racks of Loewe clothing and like shoes and like these big like display cabinets with all these bags. And she was like, okay, like, yeah, like go. You can pick anything you want. I was like, oh my God. So I just like went, like, I mean, I don't get to keep any of it, but like it felt like I was like shopping. It was so cool. And I just got to try on all these different outfits. And then I ended up just going with like something really simple because I think it can be a bit overwhelming when you go into these rooms and they have like these amazing like long dresses and these big high heels and like they're all like so incredible and like everything's so exciting. And it's like, oh, why would I not wear something like this? I'm probably not going to get the chance to ever wear something like this again. Like, I'm never going to buy this. So, like, I may as well wear it if they're lending me something. And I think I used to do that quite a lot with fashion shows. Like, I would wear stuff that wasn't very me. But then I ended up, like, not actually feeling that comfortable in it. And I didn't like the photos I was, like, I won't take a photo if I don't like what I'm wearing or if I don't feel comfortable in it. So I think I was doing that a bit too often, like just getting a bit carried away with all the like amazing options and choices and just going with like whatever I thought was I would just pick stuff that wasn't very me. So now I'm like very in my bag where I'm only picking stuff that I actually would just wear on the day-to-day basis. So I picked like a pair of baggy jeans and a jumper, literally what I'm wearing right now, a pair of baggy jeans and a jumper, and I just wore my bomber because I was like, this is just me. Like, I want to look like me and I want to feel like me. I don't want to feel like I'm pretending to be someone else. And that's what I ended up picking. And I went to the show and it was literally like an hour outside of Paris in this big old, I don't know, would you call it a castle? I feel like it was a castle. Like, it literally had like a moat. Like, you know, there's like wooden things that go over like a moat and you like walk in. I got on my car, like I arrived at the venue and I got on my car and everyone was screaming, like, because at these shows there's like loads, well, especially the big ones like Loewe and like Louis Vuitton and stuff, there's like so many people outside, which I'm like mind-boggled because this was like an hour outside of Paris. Like, how did these people even get here? Like, they're dedicated, but they're like, there's in, especially in Paris. Actually, I saw a lot of fans at Milan outside Prada. That's a crazy one. And I think it's like a lot of like Korean like K-pop idols and stuff like that, they go to these like huge shows and the fans go crazy for K-pop people. Like, the K-pop fans are like unmatched, but I didn't realize there were so many in like Milan and Paris. But anyway, there were so many people outside this show and I was like, hey, they're probably here for some K-pop idol or something. But they were all screaming and I was like as I was walking in, I was like, all right, these people aren't screaming for me, like they have no fucking idea who I am. But I look like right behind me, like I'm not joking, like maybe 2 meters behind me, this guy's walking with me and I was like, I recognize this guy, Pharrell. It was crazy. He's like a real life human being. And he was just like stood like right behind me. Like, we were like literally walking in together and I was like, oh, this is not real. And he was like so short and he was wearing a little cowboy hat and he had all his children with him and his wife. And I was like, wow, this is pretty fucking epic. I couldn't believe it. And I just pretended everyone was screaming for me as well. But anyway, I got in and sat down and like the show started and it was so cool. And I was sweating the whole time because I was hungover and the lights were really strong. And I was like, God, I hope no one can see me right now. Because I was like, I don't want to take my bomber off. I feel like the bomber really makes the outfit. But I was just like, you know, you're just like clammy. My hangovers in Paris were like kind of bad. And it's not because I was like staying out really late. It's because, and I know why it was, I like to eat and drink a lot of water before I go to sleep after I go out, because it, like, my hangover is just 10 times worse if I don't do that. Obviously, that's what you're supposed to do to stop a hangover. But the only food open like past 1 o'clock in Paris is Subway. And like, I'm not a Subway person. Like, I would never get Subway in London. I think I maybe used to get Subway when I was like 13, but like, who actually just like gets a Subway in the daily? Like, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, I love Subway, like, it's my favorite fast food. But like, I actually do not know anyone that gets Subway. No one gets Subway. How is Subway still afloat? I mean, I kept it afloat single-handedly by getting it after every night out in Paris. But anyway, yeah, I would get like a fucking, me and Ruby, we were just staying together the whole time we were in Paris. We literally shared a bed for 9 days straight. And every day we would get back from a night out, because I swear, I think I went out every night in Paris. And they weren't crazy nights out, like I would literally be home by like 2. That's kind of crazy actually. But like in Paris, you don't go out until like 12 or 12:30. It's like a very, very late night. So like it starts late. So to be home at that time is actually not that bad. Every night we would come home, get in bed, and we would order a footlong Subway. And I would wake up in the morning and feel like actual shit, because I don't know what they put in there, but it's, and like, I literally just get like vegetables and ketchup. Oh, sorry. I don't think I'll ever eat Subway again. But anyway, it must be something, like, they must put some, like, E numbers. Like, there's no reason for a sandwich to taste that good, you know? Like, if I made a sandwich at home with just vegetables and ketchup, it would be fucking disgusting. I would never do that. But when you get it from Subway, it's so good. And it makes you wonder, why is this tasting so good? Apparently, the bread in Subway can't actually be considered bread, and it's actually considered cake because it's got so much sugar in it. The more you know. Anyway, so because of that, my hangovers were really bad in Paris. Not hangovers, but I just felt terrible in the mornings, and the weather was in the morning, and I was just kind of sat there like, oh, fuck, this footlong Subway is not doing me well right now. Oh, and then that night, I went for dinner. Oh, sorry, actually, let me tell you about another show I went to. I went to Alexander McQueen. Now, the story behind Alexander McQueen is actually so, so sad. So Alexander McQueen was like a designer. He's from London, I think, and I'm sure you guys have heard of the brand. He was like a genius. Like, he was a really, really, really amazing designer. And then he was troubled, I think. Well, yeah, he was like very mentally ill. And I think a lot of like geniuses and like really, really creative people do struggle with that. And he actually committed suicide when he was like really young. And it was the brand was taken over by maybe like his, I think it was the person that like worked under him. Her name was Sarah. I don't know if it was like his best friend or like just maybe the person under him, but she took it over. She took the brand over for, I think he maybe died in like the 90s. So she's held this, held like his, or been in charge of Alexander McQueen, the brand, for so long, like well over 20 years, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think well over 20 years. And she's like kept his like legacy alive, whatever. I never thought like it was like really important that she did it as well because she knew him so well. But she has retired, like she stepped on as creative director of Alexander McQueen this year, and it's been for the first time passed on to someone. They passed it on to a guy called Sean McGurr, is that his name? I think it is. And he's from Dublin, and he's like 30. I think he's super, super young. Maybe, yeah, I think he might be 30. And I did love it because it's another like Irish designer. But yes, Sean McGurr, another Irish king. I mean, people kind of hated on it because like I feel like a lot of creative directors of like the massive brands at the minute are men. And obviously Alexander McQueen was run by a woman, and now it's been passed on to a man again, and everyone was like, boo, like we're fucking bored of this, like we want another woman creative director. But anyway, I was kind of happy anyway because he was from Ireland and super young, and I was excited to see what he was going to do. He was head of women's wear at Loewe, so I was like, I wonder if we'll be able to see like a bit of Loewe in his, like, because he was doing his debut show this Paris Fashion Week, and somehow I got invited to that, which is fucking amazing. And it was such a big show, and it was really, really cool. It was like set in like a old fish market, I think it was just a big like, it looked like a big derelict room, and I thought it was very Alexander McQueen. Anyway, I actually really, really loved the collection. I thought it was really cool. There was like some really interesting silhouettes that kind of reminded me of Loewe, and I thought like I could see the influence there. He got a lot of stick for it. Everyone was kind of like hating on it, being like, oh, it's so like a copy of Alexander McQueen. And I was like, well, yeah, like it is an Alexander McQueen show, like of course he's gonna have to take influence from Alexander McQueen stuff. He's not gonna do anything like crazy and like avant-garde for his first collection. Like he needs to kind of like ease his way in, and I think that's what he did, and I think he did amazingly. And I thought it was a really, really cool show. But apart from that, yeah, that's all I really got up to in Paris. And then straight after Paris, I went to Edinburgh with on a brand trip with, oh guys, I will never get over this, I went on a brand trip with Chanel Beauty. And I was like, the reason that like that hits hard for, like, hits home for me is because I've told you guys before, I used to be like really, really, I mean, I still am like into beauty gurus. Like I could write, like that is my Roman Empire, honestly, like beauty gurus, like 2014 to 2018, like that era of YouTube was just my shit. Even like earlier in 2014 was the peak. But I think beauty gurus on YouTube really like paved the way for social media. Like, honestly, they changed. I actually saw a TikTok about this the other day. They changed the way we speak about makeup. Like, how we say, oh, I know I'm going to go in with this eyeshadow. Like, no one said that before beauty gurus. Like, they really changed the dialect. Like, I watched a guy, like, say I could write a full essay about this. And I was like, honestly, me too. Like, I fucking love beauty gurus and everything they do on YouTube. And I still, to this day, watch makeup tutorials. And, like, I'm not into makeup really like that. Like, I don't, like, I do the same thing. Obviously, I'm into makeup and, like, I like finding new products and stuff. But I don't change the way I do my makeup. Like, I do my makeup the same every single day, and I'm not like, I'm not ever gonna change or try some like crazy glitter cut crease. But for some reason, like, I just love watching people on YouTube do their makeup and talk about makeup, and I just find it really satisfying and really like relaxing. And like I'll play like a makeup tutorial like every night just to fall asleep to, or like if I'm not listening to true crime, I'm watching a makeup tutorial. So I was like, I've stayed loyal to these beauty gurus. But back in the day when I was like 13 and I was like really in my beauty guru stage, I was watching these women do their makeup. They were like 30 years old and they're all like bawling as well because they were beauty gurus. Like, they used to make so much money. They would use these really, really expensive products like Giorgio Armani foundation and Chanel bronzer, and I was like, mom, I want this. And she was like, no, you're not fucking getting it. Like, you're literally 13 years old, you do not need a Chanel bronzer. So I would like start babysitting, and I would pick up part-time jobs, and I would just save money wherever I could so I could buy this really expensive makeup, because I was like, just wanted to be these beauty gurus. And I would literally, they could tell me to rub shit on my face and it would make my skin glow, and I would do it, you know, like I would do anything these women told me to. So I saved up loads of money, and one of the first, I think it was the first like expensive like high-end piece of makeup I bought was it Chanel? It was either Chanel bronzer, the Chanel Tan de Soleil, which I still use to this day, literally use it this morning, I'm obsessed with it. I will never ever get rid of my Chanel bronzer, and it also lasts you like 10 years, this bronzer. It's insane. Probably shouldn't do that, probably is out of date. Like, who knew makeup expired? Anyway, It was either that or like the NARS foundation. I love the NARS foundation and the Giorgio Armani foundation. Like, no, I do not wear foundation. I hate foundation. It makes you look like you're wearing makeup. And I know, of course, like, you can probably still tell I'm wearing makeup. But like, I just, for me, I think because I have freckles, and also I don't have any like problems on my cheeks. Like, all my spots are on my chin or like on my forehead. So I don't really feel the need to like cover up my cheeks with foundation. I just like to use like concealer and bronzer. And I feel like it just looks so, I don't know, it's just like, it's just the style of makeup I like. But I used to love foundation. I used to find like the most full coverage foundation, which is so funny because I was like literally 13 and I had no spots whatsoever and I had like baby skin. I don't know why I was piling so much foundation on my face. But yeah, Chanel was like one of the first expensive makeup things I bought. And then they invited me to Edinburgh on a brand trip. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. In my podcast, I said that my face was going, like my face was paralyzed. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was because I got masseter or Botox or if I was having like a, what's that thing called? Bell's palsy. I didn't go to the doctor or anything over it. And I didn't even go back to the person who did the masseter or Botox for me because I was just like, oh, like I'm sure it'll like sort itself. But someone, I talked about it on my podcast and a dentist like stitched it on TikTok and explained that if when you get masseter or Botox, they inject it in this muscle here, like really, it's like really far back, but there's a muscle here that affects like it makes you smile, like when you contract this muscle, it makes you smile. And if you go to if you're a practitioner, I mean, the thing is, like, I was really recommended this person who did my Botox by like someone I really trust, and like it was a really, really bougie place, and I think that this is like a very like well like he's got a good rep, this doctor, what would you call that, a doctor? Yeah, a doctor. This person's got like a really, really good rep, and like, I know it's fucking expensive, but I was like, it's my face, like, you know, like I've got to invest money into like, I'm gonna spend more, I'm not gonna like try find the cheapest person to inject me, because that's when things go wrong, you would fucking think. Anyway, the person who's doing it puts it too far forward, it can go into this muscle here that makes you smile, and then it relaxes that muscle. That's what Botox does, it just relaxes the muscle and it can stop you smiling. Now, it still is like not fixed. Like, Botox takes like, I think, 6 weeks. No, it doesn't. It takes like 4 months to wear off. So I think it'll be in 4 months time. So, well, this is my warning. Make sure you, well, I don't know, because I was going to say, make sure you really like research like your practitioner when you go to get Botox. If you want masseter Botox, if you've got really bad grinding. But also this guy I went to must have been so fucking shit, because already I've started grinding again. Like, I fell asleep on the train the other day and I woke up and I literally felt like all my teeth were going to fall out. Like, I've been grinding so badly in my sleep. I was literally asleep for like half an hour as well because it was on the train. And I've been grinding so badly, and that was only recently I got that done, obviously, because I'm still paralyzed in the side of my face. I think it was in like February, and that I think he must have just put, like, completely missed the muscle or something and just like done the in the wrong place. But yeah, I would be like, okay, this is your warning, like, you need to go to like a good practitioner, otherwise your face could be paralyzed if you're gonna get masseter Botox. I went to a good practitioner and that happened, so I guess it's just a risk that you need to understand that can happen, because also no one's ever told me that. No one's like ever said, by the way, like, when you get masseter Botox, you need to be aware of a risk that you might get facial paralysis. But here is your warning, don't do it. I feel like I get like so many people come up to me and they're like, oh my god, like your masseter Botox looks so good, like I want to get it as well. I'm like, don't just get it for aesthetic reasons, because although I will admit, like, I think it has done bits for my face, because I mean, I always get comments now being like, oh my god, you got cheek filler, and I think it just has made my cheeks more prominent because it's made my jaw less prominent. But just don't do it just for like aesthetic purposes, because there's really no need and it's not that big a change, and you could be left with facial paralysis. So unless you actually really grind your teeth and you want to stop doing that, I mean, there are other ways to stop grinding your teeth. You can start wearing retainers and stuff, but I fucking hate retainers, sorry. Retainers are the worst. I remember I used to have to wear them after I got my braces off, and like, I would wake up and there is no worse smell than your retainers after a night of sleeping. It's putrid. And like, I just can't be doing that. I can't be dealing with that every morning. My mornings are already rough enough. I don't even be waking up with putrid smelling retainers every morning. And like, I clean my retainers. There was no need for them to be smelling that bad. Maybe I just got bad morning breath. Don't get masseter Botox just for aesthetics, because you might be left with facial paralysis, and that's not a good aesthetic. So I went to Edinburgh with Chanel Beauty. It was so nice. We were literally there for like less than 24 hours, maybe like half a day. So I can't really give you that many recommendations, but I went on a walking tour and I stayed at this beautiful hotel, which had a cryo chamber, and it's made me really want to get into like, because obviously I've been getting into like saunaing recently. I've been in my sauna bag. You've heard enough about it. I don't need to talk about saunaing anymore. But they had this cryo chamber and I was too scared to do it because the cryo chamber they had at this hotel, basically, if you don't know what a cryo chamber is, it's a room that you step into. I don't know if it's always a room or maybe sometimes. I feel like I've seen people do it on their heads, like sticking out of this like pod thing. But it's a room that you go into or some sort of pod and the temperature drops to minus 85, or like I think it can go up to like minus 150 degrees, like insanely cold. Is that right? I feel like that's right. Like your eyelashes like freeze, and it's basically like going into like an ice bath, but it's like a air that blows at you instead. And I think there's meant to be many health benefits. It's the same as like saunaing or an ice bath. Who really knows if it does anything? But I feel like it'd be an amazing way to like start your day. And I found a place. Well, anyway, I wanted to go in the cryo chamber in this hotel when I was in Edinburgh, but I just like was already feeling super like, I just spent like 9 days in Paris and I'd flown straight to Edinburgh and I was just like out of it a bit. And I was like, I don't know if this cryo chamber is going to do much for me right now. And I also got quite scared because there's a certain cryo chamber in this hotel locked for 30 seconds. So like usually people do like 2 minutes in this little chamber. And it's like a full on room, like the door closes behind you. And the girl was like, yeah, so you have to do minimum 30 seconds because the door locks and I can't open it. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrifying. Because what if I have like a heart attack, or like what if, like this is my first time doing a cryo chamber, like what if it's really, really not for me and I start to get scared or claustrophobic and then I have to be stuck in there for 30 seconds. And I was like, I think I might spiral if I go in here. So I didn't do it, but I watched everyone else do it and they all like came out. They had like ice like all over their legs. Like their legs had literally formed ice. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I decided I'm going to try that this week. I found a place near me that has like loads of different cryo chambers. Like it's literally like an establishment just for like cryotherapy. So I'm going to go try it. I'll let you guys know how it goes. But yeah, Edinburgh was a blast. I didn't even eat like any Scottish food. I had a Nando's. I've been obsessed with Nando's, guys. It's like my new hyperfixation. I cannot stop eating Nando's. It's a real problem. Nando's, please give me a black card. But don't even give me a black card because it'll just encourage me. I have a friend that has a Nando's black card, but he can only use it when he goes in store. Actually, you know what? Argue with me if you want, but I think a Nando's in-store experience is better than a Deliveroo. And that is very rare for me because I usually prefer Deliveroo to anything. Like, I would rather be on the comfort of my own sofa eating my food rather than being in the restaurant. Like Chipotle. I'm not fucking sitting in Chipotle and eating a Chipotle. That's disgusting. I'd obviously rather eat that on my sofa. Or even like Pizza Express. I don't want to be there. I want to be on my sofa eating a Pizza Express. Like there's nowhere that I'd rather be in the restaurant except Nando's. And the reason for that is I love all the sauces and I love all the drinks machine and everything. It's just the best. I love a Nando's in-store experience. Anyway, Nando's is my hyperfixation food. Don't know how we got into that. Got back from Edinburgh and my mum and dad were visiting me for the weekend. I don't really know if they were visiting me. They basically were going to a rugby game on Saturday. It was England versus Ireland, the Six Nations. I'm not really into rugby, to be honest. I think I've said before, my family are like a really big rugby family. Like my brother was like captain of the rugby team. My dad was like obsessed with him when he was captain of the rugby team. Like my dad and brother are very into rugby, and because of that, my mum would be into it. And like they all have like season tickets to Ulster, which is like our province rugby team. But me and my sister were never really quite into it, but I did go to like a big rugby school, so like I kind of like I did grow up watching rugby. Like I remember like even in school, like rugby boys was like my type. Each to their own. Some people might still, but like rugby boys are just like they're huge. They're like huge men, you know. And I was like, when I was younger, like that was like my type, you know. Like the rugby boys were that like the cool people. Like they were like the, I don't know, like that was who I fancied. And now I couldn't fancy someone more opposite of a rugby player. I know I like my boys. I just like, okay, if I'm looking at the kind of boys that I've been with or whatever, I like them like sickly thin, you know, like they look like they might be on the brink of death. Like they do not look like rugby boys, in other words. And it's just funny how my type is different. And I think I only fancy rugby boys because that was what was considered like the bomb in school. But yeah, I used to like love rugby. I feel like watching a sport is really fun when you know someone that's playing. Like I loved rugby because it was like the boys in my class beating each other up on a pitch. Like that's so entertaining. Whereas like, no, I don't really like it because I don't know anyone playing. But anyway, my parents came over to London because there was an England versus Ireland game and they had tickets to it. And then they got me tickets because they were like, oh, like you'll want to come with us, won't you? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come with you guys. Because they were just so excited about it. I didn't want to like rain in their parade. So I went with them, and one thing about my parents is they love to drink. They really do. So we went for lunch at 1, and they were like, right, let's get on the booze. So we started drinking at 1 p.m. Then we go all the way to Twickenham to watch the rugby. The Guinnesses are flowing. And I actually personally love Guinness. Then, of course, Ireland lost. Not of course, but yeah, Ireland lost. The morale was a bit low. So we went back on it, drowned our sorrows, started doing tequila shots at the pub with my dad. You know, my dad, oh my God, this is like a little, like a horrifying thing, but my dad just went, my whole family just went skiing, and I went skiing with like our family friends. I didn't go because I'm actually really against skiing. I don't understand skiing. I don't know why you would ever, ever pay money to go to a freezing cold country, wake up in the morning, go to a sport, hurl yourself down a mountain for 3 hours, and then go day drink in the cold. Oh my God, that is my hell. I don't like day drinking. So like, I don't know, skiing just isn't for me. I would far rather use that money and go somewhere warm and wake up in the morning on the beach with a cocktail in hand. Like, that is just my that's my type of holiday. I would never go skiing. I went skiing when I was younger, but I'm never gonna do it again. So anyway, my dad, my family went skiing, and I politely declined, but they went with our family friends. And my dad told me that on that trip, everyone made up a nickname for him, and his nickname was Shot Daddy. What? He's like, I was like, oh, why'd they call you that? And he was like, oh, because like every bar I went into, I made everyone do shots. And I was like, okay. So my dad calls himself Short Daddy. Anyway, so I met up with my friends after the rugby match. I was with, like, it was like me, my mum, my dad, my friend Tommy, and my friend Tilly. And we went to the pub, and my dad was like, oh, who wants shots? It's Short Daddy. And I was like, oh, guys. Tilly was like, what? What did he just call himself? And I was like, he called himself Short Daddy. Anyway, so because of that, we were doing shots a lot. I was doing a lot of tequila shots, and it was just a long day of drinking. And it's just so, of course it was a long day of drinking with my Irish parents. I really get that drinking gene from them, I fear. I'm just such a heavyweight. Like, I find it really difficult as well, because like, I spend a lot of time with Ruby, and Ruby is such a lightweight, and she makes me feel like, and it's not that I'm like an alcoholic. I don't really like drinking. I don't love the taste of it or anything. Like, I'll just drink like if everyone else is drinking, but I have to drink so much more to get on anyone else's level, and I hate it. And it's so because of my parents, I think. But yeah, it was a fun day anyway, and I just let my parents come in to visit me, and it was a cool experience going to Twickenham. I've never been to Twickenham before. One thing that got me thinking, right, which I wanted to speak about in the podcast today, was before the rugby match started, they did the national anthems, and they did the Irish one first, which I kind of like, I don't really know it. Like, I feel like a national anthem wasn't a big thing for us. Like, we never sang it in school. The only reason I know it is from rugby games, but it's quite a nice one. It's like, it's called Ireland's Call. I think that's the name of it. Don't quote me on that, but it's like shoulder to shoulder. We'll answer Ireland's call. Anyway, it's like a chant. It honestly feels like a chant. It's like a nice octave. Anyone can sing it. It's about Ireland, and that's really all it's about. It's about Ireland, the country. And then we sang that. It was all good. I enjoyed that. And then the England one came on, and I don't really know the English national anthem, to be honest. I've never really heard it before until the other day when I went to the rugby, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It was literally like an opera song. I was like, how are all these men keeping up with this? It was so high, and it was like so intricate, and it was all about like, it was about the king. God save the king. I mean, it used to be about the queen, didn't it? But they had to change it to the king. If you think about it, the king's kind of old. Like, he's like 75. Like, do we think he's going to be around for much longer? Because he's ill now. Here's a question. Can the king like step down from the throne, like make like Prince William the king before he dies? Or does it have to be like death and then King William? Because I'm like, if he's ill, which I assume he is ill, right? I think, why did we ever stop talking about that? Oh my God, do you think like the whole Kate Middleton thing going missing wherever the fuck she is was like a ploy to get us to stop talking about how ill the king was? But they're really going through it this year, aren't they? Anyway, but yeah, I just couldn't stop thinking, like, this is a crazy national anthem. And I feel like a lot of like national anthems are just about the country, whereas like this one's like really about like the king. Like, you guys would like, you guys love the king, don't you? I find it interesting, and I thought the Ireland one was so much better. I didn't really like the English national anthem, not to be like anti like England, like I literally live in England, but I was like, Ireland one's so much better. It really gets me going, whereas like I felt like I was singing like a church song or something. When the English one was, I mean, I wasn't singing the English one because I don't know the words. And also, how do you guys know the words? I talked to my friend from England, and I was like to him, like, how do you guys, like, how do you know the words of this song? He's like, oh, we used to sing it in school. He's like, what? You sang the national anthem in school? Like, why did we not have to sing the national anthem in school? Got me really thinking about the differences between England and Ireland. I was starting to write a list actually about the differences that I want to discuss. Obviously, St. Patrick's Day is coming up as well, and I'm going home in a couple of days for St. Patrick's Day, which I'm really excited about. I've talked about it before. And I asked you guys for recommendations of what to do on St. Patrick's Day, and no one replied. And I really remembered that. So if you were thinking about sending me a recommendation of what to do on St. Patrick's Day and you didn't, please do. But yeah, so I'm going home, and it got me thinking. St. Patrick's Day is obviously like a widely celebrated holiday. Like, they celebrate it a lot in America. They celebrate it in Ireland, obviously. But even in London, they celebrate it. Like, I remember last year I went out on St. Patrick's Day in London, and it was so much fun. And like, there were so many people out drinking. I feel like English people really love like the whole Irish thing. I mean, a lot of people do. Like, everyone in America is like, oh my God, I'm Irish. And I'm like, you're just not Irish. But anyway, everyone just loves Irish things. Guinness, for example, everyone at the rugby was drinking Guinness. Even all the English fans were drinking Guinness. Guinness was everywhere. Like, I love Guinness. Do you guys like Guinness? If you don't like Guinness, give it a try, because I feel like you've never tried it before. It's actually really, really delicious. And it's a lot lighter than you would think. It's not as heavy. I mean, well, my max is 2 pints of Guinness. That's as much as I can do, but it's the only drink that I can down. I'm really, really bad at downing drinks, but give me a Guinness and I'm away. But yeah, like St. Patrick's Day, we have that. What does England have? Do you guys have like a national holiday that everyone like celebrates and everyone goes out and gets drunk and like it's a huge thing and like profitable? Like, I feel like you guys don't. Like, I know America has the 4th of July. That's like their St. Patrick's Day, I would say. But what is England's one? And then I did a bit of research and I found out about this holiday called St. George's Day. But like, even at that, like, I feel like that's not like, I mean, I guess it's similar to St. Patrick's. Like, it's a holiday for a patron saint. Is that the word? But I kind of did a bit of research into it. And then the only people that like celebrate St. George's Day are like a bit like, it's very like, okay, well, this brings me on to a whole other topic when I'm getting into this. Like, patriotism, is that a word? Patriotic. Okay, so everyone in Ireland is like very proud to be Irish, you know, like it's a big part of Irish people's identity as being Irish. And even people who are a little bit Irish, they really grab onto that Irish thing, and they're like, yeah, like I'm like, for example, people in America would love to say, oh, I'm Irish. Or even like people in England, I meet people from England all the time. They're like, oh yeah, I'm actually Irish, I'm not English. Like, people love to be patriotic when it comes to being Irish. And the same with Scottish. Like, people love to be like, they really like, they die by being Scottish, and they're really proud of it. And it's not considered a weird thing, I don't think, when like people are like really like patriotic when they're Irish. Like, someone's like loves to be Irish. I'm like, yeah, like you should. Like, Irish, like being Irish is amazing. Whereas I feel like maybe just because of like, I live in London and a lot of people in London like aren't really like this, but like I feel like not a lot of people are like patriotic when it comes to being English. And when they are like super patriotic to be English, it's like considered a little bit like iffy. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for me, when someone's like super patriotic to be English, that's not the, like, that's not proper grammar, but you know what I mean, like super proud to be English, like super patriotic, and like hangs an English flag on their like house, I see it the same as like someone that's like really into being American. When I see an American flag hanging outside someone's house, I'm a bit like, ooh. Like, being patriotic and being American and being patriotic and being English is like the same kind of vibe for me. I'm just a bit like, the only time anyone I know is patriotic that's English is during like the World Cup or Euros. And I think that's only because England have quite a good football team. And like, they, you know, like if England were really shit at football, I don't think they would be that patriotic. But you know what I mean? Anyway, other differences I've noticed are food. What's in traditional English food? For me, the most traditional English food I can think of is like steak and pie. Sorry, not steak. Pie and mash. Do you guys die for pie and mash? I don't know if I've just, I don't really like the crust and pie. I remember when my parents used to give me pie when I was younger, I used to just scrape out the insides. What's steak and ale pie? Is that like beer? Like, I've heard of that before, but I've never tried it. I don't know. When I think of Irish food though, it's not much better. We have this thing called Irish stew, which is actually the most disgusting thing ever. But another thing we do have is spice bags. Spice bags are fucking delicious. I feel like when I bring my friends to Ireland on Sunday to Belfast, there's like these three things I want them to try. I want them to try a boojum, which of course we all know what a boojum is. I talk about it non-stop. It's like the best burrito in the world. I think the burritos in Belfast, I mean, they actually have boojum all around Ireland, so I'll say the burritos in Ireland are better than the burritos in London. Fight me. And so I'm going to bring them to Boojum. I'm going to bring them to get a spice bag. A spice bag is basically like a bag filled with like salt and pepper spice, you know, like from the Chinese, and chips. And sometimes you get like chicken in it and you get like chilies and stuff. I don't know. It's really fucking good. They have it in Scotland as well. It's so yum. So I'm going to get them a spice bag, and I'm going to get them this famous kebab in Belfast. I don't like kebab at all, but it's like a very famous kebab. Honestly, I've never tried a kebab. I'm not a big kebab. Well, I don't know, because I've never tried it, but it's just like not for me. Just it looks crazy, you know, like all those like that when the meat is like all folded over. I'm like, oh my god, that looks. It's just not. I don't know. I don't think I was ever a big meat person, to be honest. Like the only thing I miss meat wise is chicken, and when I say chicken, I just mean Nando's. That's the only thing I miss. I don't like fried chicken. I don't like roast chicken. I only like Nando's. Another thing that's very Irish is potatoes. And I'm not a big potato person. I like French fries and maybe like a mashed potato here and there, but I'm not a big potato person, so maybe I'm not fully Irish. What else is different between England and Ireland? The shops that you guys have. I remember I used to be so excited when I got to come to like London when I was younger, because you guys had so many more. You guys, I'm assuming everyone listening to this is English. I'm sure a lot of people are Irish, but like there are a lot of differences. Like for example, we don't have a Morrison's. We don't have Waitrose. We didn't have Vimto when we were younger. I used to get so excited because I used to like spend a lot of time in Manchester when I was younger, because we have family friends that live in Manchester, and we used to like when we would go on holiday, a lot of the time you couldn't fly directly from Belfast because like there were no flights that like went anywhere from Belfast. We would always stop in Manchester and like see our family friends for a bit, like for like a week or two literally. And I used to be so excited because I would have Vimto, and we would go to the, like, that was the first thing we would do, is we'd go to the corner shop. It was like one of my core memories from being a child, go to the corner shop and get a Vimto. Wouldn't touch Vimto anymore. I actually hate Vimto. It's so gross. It's like too much. Another thing I used to get really excited about is American Apparel. Do you guys remember American Apparel? Oh my god, that was like, honestly, they need to bring it back. American Apparel was like this clothing store that I think they might have had one in Dublin for a while, but like it used to be, we'd only be able to get it if we would go to London and they would have American Apparel there. Did they have an American Apparel there? I'm pretty sure they did, but it was like very much like the Tumblr era. Like that was like the It Girl brand. It was like the Brandy Melville of 2012, and they had had these like what would you call it, like shiny hot pants and shiny leggings and like these, remember skater skirts? Oh my god, skater skirts and Vans was like the like Tumblr uniform. I was like a little bit too young for it, but my sister was really, really into Tumblr, and because, like, I just thought I would do anything my sister did. Like my sister, I get like, she was like the beauty gurus for me. Like she could do anything, she would tell me to do anything, she would wear anything, and I would automatically think it was the coolest thing in the world and would just follow suit. Like I would do anything my older sister told me. I just thought my older sister was like, I mean, I still do, I think my older sister is the coolest person in the world. There's such an interesting relationship between like younger sisters and older sisters. Me and my sister were actually talking about this the other day, because I used to like worship the ground that my sister walked on. Like I would think she was the coolest person. She could tell me to do anything. I was literally like her, like I waited on her like a servant. Like she would be like, go get me a Diet Coke, and I would run downstairs to get a Diet Coke, and like I would just beg her to play with me all day. I'd be like, could you do my makeup, like can I wear your clothes, like can I do anything? And then it shifts. It really shifts at a certain age. And it's not just us, because we watched a full TikTok about it as well. Like that's why we really even got into this discussion, was because she sent me this TikTok, and like it shifts into like the other way around. My sister like steals clothes off me, and like she thinks like, well, I'm like way more like in tune with like what's not what's cool, but like I'm way more chronically online than my sister, and she's like, I know what's like going on. Like my sister like comes to me for advice now, and like my sister sent me a TikTok the other day, and it was like, when texting your younger sister is like texting like a boy that's not interested in you. Because like I literally reply like one word replies, like I'm so dry. Like I was like, oh my god, I'm actually like that, I'm sorry. But it actually is a thing. Like it shifts. If you know, you'll know what I mean. If you've got an older sister, like at one point it's just like the power dynamic shifts. And I actually remember, I kind of remember exactly when it happened. It was when I had my growth spurt, and I had the control, because then I was taller than my sister and I could beat her up instead of her beating me up, because she used to beat me up quite a lot. She's like hit me with hairbrushes and stuff. Actually, no, I used to hit her with hairbrushes, but like we were violent when we were younger, you know. Having a sister like really makes you like catty. And then yeah, it shifted, because I was the power dynamic really just changed because I was taller. But yeah, no, it's changed. But yeah, back in the day when she was like she had a bit more money than me, and like I think she maybe had a part-time job or like a babysitter, so she would buy American Apparel, and I was like, when I was younger, I was like, when I'm older, I'm going to buy so much American Apparel. I'm going to have like shiny hot pants and it's going to be amazing. But then American Apparel, I think, went bust and they don't have it anymore. But yeah, England has very different shops. I remember when I moved to London, I was so excited about Westfield. We had this shopping center called Victoria Square and it was just so shit. We have no shops in Belfast, really. The shopping scene is not great in Belfast. You cannot do a good shopping spree in Belfast. Whereas when I moved to London and I had a Westfield, I was like so overstimulated. I remember I used to make my friends bring me to Westfield all the time. Like, we would spend the full day in Westfield. Now I avoid Westfield at all costs. It's horrible. it's not horrible, but it's like, it's so intense. And like, you lose track of all time because there's like no windows and there's so many people and you can get lost in there. And like, it's just huge. It's actually like, it's a pretty incredible shopping center though. Like, when it comes to like, when I have to do like my Christmas shopping. But this is another thing, me and my friends always talk about it. If you've ever been to Westfield, basically it's so fucking hot in there, but it's so cold in London. So you'll go to Westfield like all bundled up for the cold. And then you get into Westfield and the heat hits you and you're like carrying bags and then you start sweating and you've got nowhere to put your coat and then it all just gets too much. And then as you walk, like, they have all these different stands in the center with all these different foods. And it's like, you know when you go to like to the, what's that called, like a fun fair when you're younger? Like, I remember there was like these two fun fairs in Belfast growing up, and they were like it's like our version of Winter Wonderland, because they would only come for like a month every year, and it was like put up and down in a day. These like kind of fun fairs, like, really like I find them a little bit not risky, like I deep it now when I go on a roller coaster that was put up in a day, like Alton Towers and Thorpe Park. Like, I find that less like risky because they actually like they've been built there and like they have people that like check on them every day, like maintenance. Whereas like these like pop-up fun fairs are like a little bit dodgy actually. And they used to have them in Belfast called Planet Fun, and what was the other one called? Oh my god, I can't remember what the other one was called. But anyway, Planet Fun was like the, honestly, like the highlight of my year. I remember like we would go to this Planet Fun, this fun fair, and we would go on these rides, and then straight after we would get like these donuts, like, you know, the little mini donuts, or like just like fun fair food. And then I'd be sick after, because like I was just a child and like my tummy was too much, like my tummy had just like gotten like three somersaults in the air on this ride, and then I was eating all this sugary food, and like I feel like you're just always sick as a child. So now whenever I smell these like kind of like fun fair foods, it makes me feel really, really sick. And like sometimes in Westfield they have these like pop-up fun fair foods, and it makes me feel so ill when I walk past and I can smell all this and then get so overstimulated. So now I avoid Westfield at all costs. I mean, I don't, because I live like 10 minutes away, and honestly, like anytime I need something, I do go there. Like, they've got an Apple there, it's really, really handy. If something's broken, I just run into Apple. It's 10 minutes from my house, it's so easy. But like, I don't enjoy it as much as I once did when I first moved to London. I was so excited by it. Anyway, I feel like there's a lot of differences between Ireland and England, but I don't know, I feel like I'm very, sometimes I shit on England a lot. I do, but I live here, so that says a lot. Like, I just love Irish things and Irish people, and I love Ireland. But there's just, this is the land of opportunity. I mean, I feel like people say that about America, but for the UK, like, I feel like, I don't know, I love London so much, and like, I think it's been pivotal in my career, so I can't shit on it that much. I feel like people do that all the time. It's like LA, like when people move to LA, they like shit on LA all the time, like, well, don't live there then. And it's like me with England, I'm like, oh, I hate England, I like whatever. And I think that's just like drilled into me from a young age, because I'm from Ireland. It's like everyone like hates England and Ireland. It's like they've got this bit of a rivalry going on, but really London is amazing, and I could not live anywhere else, I don't think. Maybe I could live in New York, but I love London. So although I shut it a little bit, don't listen to me. But I think they're like, the differences are very interesting, because like they're so close. It's a 45 minute flight for me to get home, but yeah, it's like a whole other world over there. It's interesting. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you guys have any recommendations for what to do on Paddy's Day in Ireland, please let me know. Tell me what's going on. I don't, like, no one fills me in. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to, like, my friends are all, like, texting me every day being like, Olivia, we're so excited, we can't wait. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I've got nothing planned. So I'm starting to panic a little bit. So please give me recommendations if you're from Ireland. Anyway, love you guys. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you next week. Or actually, I'll see you on Friday for Mini Monologue. Love you. Bye.